From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Listen, we do have a great show for you today. We have got Oscar nominee Jesse Eisenberg. He'll be joining us later on. We'll do our own little red carpet interview. It'll be fun. And we are excited, while he will be with us, to pitch him an idea. He's already started a movie about the creation of Facebook. That worked. So why not one about the creation of NPR? We can call it the Socially Awkward Network. We know you're eager to reach out and interface with us the old-fashioned way. Call us at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It is time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Elizabeth, and I am calling from Ketchikan, or as dear Sarah Palin likes to call us, Nowhere, Alaska.
Wait a minute. Did Sarah Palin specifically refer to your town as Nowhere?
Well, do you remember the infamous Bridge to Nowhere?
Oh, yeah.
I look out my window and see no bridge.
Really?
So how did you get there?
Yeah, exactly. Without a bridge, you must have been stuck.
I flew.
Yeah. I don't know why you don't deserve your own bridge. What do you do there in Nowhere?
I do two things. I'm a graduate student here, yeah. And I'm teaching dance.
Wait a minute. There's like a dance school in Nowhere?
Yeah.
I'm just imagining. Well,
you knew there was a grad school, right?
Where we can amount to something.
No, because you know, we heard all this, right? And the Bridge to Nowhere, and we just imagine this frozen waste of tundra. Now I'm imagining a young woman standing there in a leotard going, "Where is everybody?" Well, welcome to our show, Elizabeth. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a comedian who'll be performing at the Guffey Theater, Minneapolis, Monday night, Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Hi, Paula.
Hey. Next, it is a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Finally, it is a humorist and the author most recently of Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, you're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle right here, going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain at least two of them. Do that, you won our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Here is your first quote.
Each day brings its own challenges. Somebody will need an electric shaver, or somebody will need provisions. It's sort of like being a refugee.
That was a man named Spencer Coggs. He was talking about the hard life far from home as he tries to evade capture. What is Mr. Coggs' very dangerous job?
Is he a Wisconsin House representative?
That's close enough. He's a Wisconsin
senator.
State senator. Yes, very good. Wrong House, right state. The Democratic senators from Wisconsin are still at large and should be considered unarmed and presumed to be ineffectual.
They should hide here.
They could be there.
Yes.
No, they couldn't get there. There's no bridge. Unable otherwise to stop a measure that would strip public sector unions of all power, first they fled, this is true, by the way, to a water park in Rockford, Illinois.
Was it on? It's closed, right? So it's abandoned currently, right?
Well, it depends.
Is it indoors?
It might be an indoor. Well, we tend to have indoor.
Because if it's outdoors, they're lucky that they were not caught by Scooby-Doo and his crew.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just the sort of place they always found hijinks.
You know, trust the Democrats to have their first strategy of really fighting running away.
That's true. They finally got it together, and what they do, they turned and fled. Mm-hmm.
There is a website you can go to now where, for a small donation, they send a care package to your legislator. Wherever they're hiding out, it gives them like a flashlight and some cookies and stuff.
The idea of these guys fleeing across the Midwest, pursued by state police, this could be a great TV series. Mm-hmm. You know, like Prison Break, but starring fat guys in their 50s, it'll be like the fugitive state senator. Every episode, he moves from town to town, stopping only to rezone something to benefit a contributor. before he moves on, you know.
We don't take kindly to that in these parts, mister. Move on. Take your satchel with your flashlight and your cookies.
All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
Al-Qaeda gives them pills at night. They put hallucinatory pills in their drinks, their milk, their coffee, their Nescafe.
That was somebody explaining why the citizens of his country were irrationally rising up against his oppressive dictatorship, who was blaming his troubles on terrorist drugs in the Nescafe.
Oh, Gaddafi.
Yes, Muammar Gaddafi. Muammar Gaddafi is the Lady Gaga of crazy dictators. Constantly is pushing the envelope. Other dictators just marvel. You know, one day he's wearing a leather Bedouin robe and sleeping in a giant tent. The next he's appearing in a meat dress. You know, he's just... This week, as Libya erupted in protest, Gaddafi went on TV, and his first appearance was this bizarre short thing in which he stood in front of a car with an umbrella and talked about the rain. True. Apparently, he was told by advisors that in all of world history, there has never been a successful mass uprising against a meteorologist. Which explains why he finished his appearance by reading off the names of Libyans who were celebrating their 100th birthdays. It was very charming. How can you not love him when he does that?
You know, it's funny. They keep talking about every news report I've heard. You know, they say, well, advisors, you know, he's met with advisors. And I think, okay, who was talking to him at this point? And what are they saying? Did he actually say, I think I will say that there's, you know, drugs in the Nescafe?
Advisors.
And everybody went, yeah, that's it. Get out there. Say that. The Nescafe, we're behind you, buddy. Well, yeah. See the Nescafe thing. That's...
Gaddafi is increasingly isolated in the world. On the international scene, this is a true fact, his only friend is Silvio Berlusconi.
Ooh.
Which is also the answer to the question, what's worse than having no friends at all? Really, all that's missing is Kim Jong-il and Charlie Sheen. You've got the four horsemen of the pervocalypse. Here is your last quote.
It's a romp.
That was the Chicago Sun-Times announcing whose electoral triumph.
Oh, Rahm Emanuel.
Indeed, Rahm Emanuel. After 20 years in Chicago, Mayor Richard Daley decided to relinquish the throne. Anyway, this is a huge change for the city's image. Instead of a burly Irish boss, we're going to have a petite Jewish former ballet dancer. Yeah. Emmanuel says he's going to get to know the city by riding around in the front shirt pockets of policemen on patrol.
Ooh. Not a big man.
Ooh. No, tiny person.
Sounds like a Christian name, though, Emmanuel.
Well, Emmanuel, as you know, is a Hebrew word. It means God. It refers to God.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah. What do you mean, as you know? The only Hebrew word I know.
Good word.
Meanwhile, Carl, how did Elizabeth do in our quiz?
Very well, Peter. Elizabeth, 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Elizabeth. Take care. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Adam, a Canadian cable provider is pushing the envelope of TV entertainment. Starting this week, they are launching a channel that will show viewers what? 24 hours a day.
Maple sugaring.
Even more delicious.
It's a long process.
Yes, even more delicious.
Bacon. Sizzling bacon.
You're getting there.
It's the sizzling bacon channel.
You're getting there. It's screen licking good.
So it's a chicken? It's a fried chicken channel?
It's a roast chicken channel.
Okay.
Huh. It's chickens roasting on a spit. So you're flipping through the channels, and you find yourself watching dried up birds rolling around under heat lamps.
Ooh.
Well, that's Sex and the City reruns. Keep going, and you will get...
That was somewhat unkind.
And you will get, when you keep going past that... To the rotisserie channel.
Poultry in motion.
Yes.
I think Roy just extended the life of that network by 3 weeks.
I think so.
By giving them a
all
slogan.
All chickens all the time. May not have the production values of other chicken shows like Two and a Half Hen or Law and Order Foul Play. But they save money by not having writers, actors, or a good idea for a TV channel. Mm.
Chickens don't want to be on TV.
They avoid the limelight.
That's not true at all.
Is that a thing about fame or a thing about the medium?
This thing about chickens.
No.
If you know chickens.
All right.
Chickens are desperate to be on TV. That's
I was told this was a great career move. I get advice of that caliber all the time out in L.A.
Yeah, I've remained kind of quiet during this story because the truth is I was offered a job by this network.
And you were thinking about it.
Well, yeah. It wasn't until you guys brought it up in this bad light that it occurred to me. Maybe it wasn't that flattering an offer.
Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait.
Hi, this is Gary from Bluebell, Pennsylvania.
Bluebell, Pennsylvania. Wow. Yep. Pennsylvania seems to have a lot of these towns that just sound lovely.
Well, actually, before the town was called Bluebell, it was originally Pigeonville.
Pigeonville.
I thought it was something else.
So that was probably an improvement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Gary. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Gary's topic?
Beep, 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 beep.
Don't know what Carl means? That's because he's speaking in code. So send a message only to his followers. We heard a story of somebody using code in an unusual and very public way this week. Each of our panelists are going to tell you three stories of secret codes. Only one of them is telling the truth. Guess the true story, you will win our prize. Ready to play?
Absolutely.
First, let's hear from Paula Poundstone.
Let go my political influence. When Dennis Red Gallagher was in bed with the flu for the better part of a week, not surprisingly, he got bored with hours and hours of daytime television until he noticed something a bit odd in a commercial repeatedly aired for Eggo waffles. At first, I thought I was out of my head with fever, but by the fourth time I saw it, I was sure. If you look at the waffle on the guy's plate, it says, "No Obama," in a pattern of squares darkened by butter and syrup. It's only on for a second, just after the guy hugs his kid and the puppy licks his face. Kellogg's PR Vice President Emma Heinzig claims that Eggo toaster waffles, available in your freezer section, are a delicious breakfast or anytime nutritious snack, and that syrup and butter are distributed with the intent of enhancing the visual appeal of the waffle itself. Any resemblance to any other type of message within the tasty waffle squares is purely coincidental. And what Kellogg's claims to have been an unrelated story, Ellie McGee, food designer, was fired and the commercial pulled.
Secret messages in waffles on TV. Your next story of a hidden message comes from Adam Felber.
When you talk about the band Fishman, you have to talk about the juicy extended jams and the culture, the fans with the pH man following the band with the homemade goods and doing drugs and doing strong financial analysis on Larry Kudlow's show. And wait, what? That's right. Dan Greenhouse, chief economic strategist at Miller Tabak & Company, recently went on Kudlow's CNBC show and dropped a startling number of fish references in a 7-minute segment, which is, of course, much shorter than most fish songs. Greenhouse's analysis of inflation fears included sly shout-outs to such songs as Backwards Down the Number Line, Fast Enough for You, and Free. Greenhouse tipped his hand on his favorite band's message board right before his appearance, posting the note, "Put on CNBC right now," to which most fans replied, "Why? I'm already wearing a poncho, dude." Anyway, Greenhouse isn't resting on his laurels. He vows that next time he'll somehow figure out an ingenious way to cram in a reference to Fish's new single, which is tentatively entitled, "The Commodity Pricing is Not a Necessary Indicator of Inflationary Pressure Shuffle."
CNBC commentator getting a lot of fish songs into his comments. Your last story of a secret code comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
What caused some 300 people, many of them armed, to gather on Culp City, Colorado's Memorial Plaza this week? Corvus McKendry, whom other Culp Cityans described as a character, swore to the Associated Press that it was Flicky, my nephew's gerbil. I helped the boys wire up Flicky's little exercise wheel, so when he ran around in it, he turned another thing that jiggled another thing that pointed to words at random. Then we hooked that up to the tweet. It was the boys' science project. What went out over Twitter, at any rate, was this message. Emerge, neighbors. Denounce old lies in government as revealed here. Yes, freedom rises on Memorial. Gather like eagles next noon by excellent code known. Corvus McKendry absolutely insisted that neither he nor his nephews noticed that the first letters of those words spell out end oligarchy from Glenn Beck. The people who assembled, however, had noticed it, including the misspelling of oligarchy. That helped convince me it really was from Glenn Beck, confessed one of the assembled multitude. I was ready to rise up. Damn that Corvus.
All righty then. Here are your choices. You could have picked up a secret message from one of these sources. From Paula Poundstone, a waffle commercial, little squares in the waffle spelling out a political message. From Adam Felber, from an analyst on CNBC who is also a fish fan. Or from Roy Blunt Jr., I believe. Am I getting my head around this? Yeah. A secret message from Glenn Beck as transmitted on Twitter from Gerbils?
Yeah.
Which of these is the real story of a secret code in the week's news?
Well, Paula and Adam's stories both seem quite plausible, but actually I know a lot of smart people who really like jam bands, so I'm going to go with Adam's story about
the fish
fan on CNBC.
All right, so that's your choice. You chose Adam's story about the fish fan on CNBC. So we spoke to somebody who has a particular connection to this message.
The fish fans, they like it because they feel like they're getting these smoke signals that not everyone gets, and there's this whole other level of communication.
That was Mike Gordon. He's the bassist in the band Fish. He was talking about CNBC's Dan Greenhouse, who's a fan. Mike's new album, Moss, is out now. You got it right, obviously. Adam told the truth. It was, in fact, that story. You have both earned a point for Adam and won our prize. Carl Castle will record a greeting in your home voicemail.
Thank you very
with
much.
A secret message, if you like.
Yep.
Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we ask somebody who's done great things to do something less great. It's our Not My Job game. So this Sunday night at the Oscars, history might be made, and I'm not talking about bringing that sucker in at under 3 hours. There is a possibility that the Best Actor Award will go to the youngest winner in history. I'm talking about Jesse Eisenberg. He's been nominated for his portrayal of the founder of Facebook in the movie The Social Network. Jesse joins us now. Jesse Eisenberg, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much.
Really great to have you.
It's great to be here.
First of all, congratulations. Are you all excited about the Oscars?
I am, but I didn't know that fact you just mentioned.
You didn't know that?
It's alarming. No, now I think I'll feel even worse.
Well, apparently, I found this out. Adrian Brody holds the record. He won Best Actor at the age of 28. Mm. And you can beat him out if you win on Sunday.
Okay, I didn't know.
Try your hardest.
Really, yes, that's exactly. That's more incentive to work really hard on your acting this week.
Yeah, Jesse, is there anything you can do between now and then to lock this up?
I could maybe go to the voters' houses and redo some of the scenes I screwed up.
Yeah. Hey, so what has it been like? Has it been just endless parties and press opportunities and gift bags and the whole thing?
I guess all of that except the gift bags, but it's been...
You've had no gift bags?
Yeah, I heard other people got gift bags. Is that a... should I not have mentioned the gift bags?
I guess they got my gift bag.
Apparently they only give them to people over a certain age.
So I have to ask you, I have this Joan Rivers thing, I've always wanted to ask this question. So who are you wearing?
Right now, I'm at home in boxer shorts, but
all right. Who's boxer shorts?
On Sunday, I imagine I'll have something a little darker on.
Really?
Yeah.
You could just go with the boxer shorts, and when they answer, you can say, "Oh, Fruit of the Loom."
do make sure, Jesse, that if they say that they're just giving you the boxer shorts, make it clear before you leave, because there's been some incidents with that kind of thing in Hollywood.
Right. No. You know, I assume I'll be returning these after the.
And I get to keep them. So, we've mentioned the movie. Let's talk about it. It's of course the Social Network, huge movie from last year. You play Mark Zuckerberg, the very real person who you founded Facebook. We understand you were not a big Facebook guy, though, before you got this role.
No, and this is something I really wanted to tell you because I had never seen Facebook, and then I was rehearsing for the movie, and I was my character was discussing all of these things that I didn't know anything about, and so I got a Facebook page while I was listening to this show, and I didn't want to use my own name, so I used your name.
I'm sorry. What?
The account has been deleted. Soon thereafter, but. It was the strangest
thing. Wait a minute.
Yes.
You're telling me that as part of your research for this role, you opened a Facebook account under my name.
Yes. Now, the strange thing was, I was doing interviews for several months about the movie, and people would always ask me, do you have a Facebook page? And I would always say no because I had deleted the account. But people would say that that they had looked online the night before and that they saw that I did have a Facebook page or that I had several. So I would always get kind of quietly furious that somebody was pretending to be me. It never occurred to me until they asked me to do this show that I had done that to somebody. And I apologize if you have experienced any strange looks or.
So one of the it's odd because, well, frankly, you're a movie star. You're an Oscar nominated actor, and yet we're told that you don't go to movies very much.
I really don't. Since I started acting in movies a few years ago, I got so kind of. Just self-conscious of seeing a movie and realizing that's what I do, and then it made it less real to me, and so I just kind of stopped watching them. I know that's. I'm sure I'll get over it at some point, but that's just because I guess I'm so new at it.
Well, so you don't go to movies, and you also you were told we know you're not on Facebook except when you're impersonating me, and you don't watch TV. What do you do in your spare time?
Well, I live in New York City, and so there's so much stimulation when you walk outside. It does not require a television in the home, and I don't know. I ride a bicycle, and I spend a lot of time doing that. I guess
riding a bicycle.
Yeah,
but not to the movies. Let me ask you: Are you looking forward to this week being over, and you won't be Oscar nominee anymore? You'll either be Oscar winner, or you'll just be Jesse Eisenberg again.
Well, you don't lose the nominee.
I'm sorry.
They don't force you back into a civilian.
They don't take away your privileges.
No. You build up this great anticipation, and it's a strange kind of place to live in for several months with that anticipation. It's a strange and unsustainable feeling to have.
Will you show up out front there on your bike?
You should do that. You should. They have the limos pulling up, and you should just ride up on your Schwinn. I think that would be totally cool.
And then where do I lock it up, though?
Clips That's off right. your trousers.
Just hand it to Joan Rivers and say, watch this for a few hours. I'll be back. What's she going to do? Say no? Oh, who's your date? Can you tell me?
I'm taking my mother, she couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah. I bet. Oh. That's really exciting. Yeah. That's really great.
That is so sweet.
Yeah.
Is she going to ride in the basket? That just seems uncomfortable for her.
Jesse Eisenberg, we are delighted to talk to you, but we have, in fact, a darker purpose. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
I have no friends at all, and I like it that way.
Since you are now the face of social networking, even more than the guy who actually invented it, we thought we'd ask you three questions about people in the anti-social network, namely hermits.
Ooh.
Answer two or three questions about hermits right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's Voice. On their home answering machine. Carl, who is Jesse Eisenberg playing for?
Jesse is playing for Patty Raynaud of Farmingdale, Maine.
All right. Ready to play, Jesse?
Yes, could I just ask a question? I thought this was supposed to be about something I don't know anything about.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you claiming some expertise on hermiting?
He is one.
Well, he lives in New York without a TV and... Well, I guess maybe you count. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you can use that expertise. Let's see how it goes.
Okay.
Here's your first question, sir. One of America's most famous hermits was Robert Harrell. He achieved what distinction? A, he became the only person excused from the military draft because of, quote, a noxious bodily odor. B, he became the second most popular tourist attraction in North Carolina. Or C, he inspired a brief 1920s dance craze called the Hermit Rag.
Mm. Okay, as a hermit, I know it's not C. I would say probably A, the noxious odor.
So he was called up for military service, but they said, "You smell so badly, we will excuse you."
Yeah.
Beyond even attempting to wash him.
Yeah.
No, it was actually B. He became the second most popular tourist attraction in North Carolina. He was known as the Fort Fisher Hermit. He lived near Fort Fisher, North Carolina, and he received so many visitors in the 1960s, he ranked number two after
the Fayetteville Hermit.
Exactly. He was number two after the USS North Carolina. All right, this is no problem. He's got two more chances. Here we go. The Carthusian monks are intensely private, living a life of silent devotion in their monasteries. Now, one such Carthusian monastery allowed a documentary to be filmed about them, but only after what? A, the filmmakers gave them the entire series of the TV show Monk from TV. B, the monks screened and approved the filmmakers' prior film about hedonism in Saint-Tropez. Or C, the monks thought about it for 16 years.
B?
Can it be that they wanted to see the movie he made about Saint-Tropez before they agreed to?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Or it could also be C.
It could be C.
Then can we go with C instead?
You can, and you did. Very well done. It is C.
Okay.
The German filmmaker approached the monks in 1984, and they said, well, they had to think about it. And in 2000, they called him up and said, okay, we'll do it. The documentary is called Into Great Silence, and it is quite good, I'm told.
Ooh, all right.
Terrible dialogue.
Okay.
Last question.
Yeah.
Living as a hermit is hard, but there is help available for hermits. What? A, a website called Afraid to Show My Facebook. It's a social networking site for hermits.
Yeah.
B, a hermit newsletter complete with hermiting news and hermiting tips. Or C, a complete hermit hut kit with tent supplies, animal traps, and other equipment for the aspiring hermit.
Mm. Okay, so I'm just going to, you know, casually throw this out there, which C. No?
C? They're,
whoa, silent.
They're looking at me. There's one guy there going, yes, yes. I think it's just because he wants one. You want to try something else?
Okay, yeah, my next was B.
B. Yeah. They're liking the hermiting newsletter.
The hermiting newsletter. Yeah, that does sound better. That does sound better now that everybody's clapping for me.
Is that your choice?
Yeah.
You're right. Very well done. The Hermit newsletter is called Raven's Bread. It has about 1,000 subscribers around the world.
It is probably a newsletter without a personal section, right? By definition, they're not looking to meet.
Wanted, nobody. Carl, how did Jesse Eisenberg do in our quiz?
Jesse had two correct answers, Peter, and that's good enough to win for Patty Raynaud.
All right, congratulations.
All right.
Yay. Jesse Eisenberg is the Oscar-nominated star of The Social Network. Jesse Eisenberg, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, Jesse.
Thank you.
Bye, Jesse.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Jesse.
In just a minute, Carl serenades us with a tune on his rhyme horn in the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roy, a restaurant near the airport in Seattle has caused a scandal by openly refusing to serve whom?
Certain class of people or one person?
A class of people.
I think I read that. I can't think what it was.
I guess the owners of the restaurant went through one pat-down too many.
Oh, no, they won't serve... the TSA.
They won't serve any TSA agents, or so they say. According to a story on the consumer advocacy website Elliott.org, a restaurant near the Seattle-Tacoma Airport is banning TSA agents. Says employee Casey McLawson, their kind aren't welcomed in our establishment. Mm-hmm. This calls to mind the classic quote, "First, they came for the TSA agents." Wow. And I said nothing, because screw them, they're TSA agents. After some damning news reports, the cafe has softened a bit. TSA agents are now welcome, but any drinks they order will be served in 3-ounce Ziploc baggies.
I wonder how many people in the audience have been patted down.
Not at an airport, but I have been.
Yeah. Adam, a survey of 2,000 British men found that the majority consider doing what to be making a romantic gesture?
Looking up from the television set. Oh, it's you, is it?
Hello.
All right, then.
Back to the telly. Well, it's like, well, you can tell that I love you because of the way I picked up my underwear off the floor.
So housework, is it?
Yeah, basically doing some of the housework they think is romantic. The survey by Sainsbury asked men to name what they thought constituted romantic behavior. They didn't say flowers or poetry. They said putting the toilet seat down and not farting in bed.
I think that proves they're very gullible, doesn't it? Because their wives are saying things like, you know what really turns me on?
Oop, too late.
Yeah. Asked for what they thought were romantic gestures, women said someone to cook a meal without being asked, someone to listen to her talk about her day at work, and someone to run a bath for her. In other words, the most romantic thing you can do for your girlfriend is to become a girl. Paula, we're happy to report that Beatha Lee has just finished her first term as the president of the Hillbrook Tall Oaks Civic Association in Annandale, Virginia. She has succeeded in the post, even though most of the voters who elected her did not know that she was a what?
A dog.
Yes. Her list of qualifications included a love of the outdoors and time overseeing a large estate in Maine. So when it was time to vote, 50 hands shot up and a dog won the most senior political post since Rin Tin Tin served as Commerce Secretary under Hoover. One resident complained, well, she had a name. It wasn't Spot or Rover, so everyone thought she was human. But really, there were clues, her stance on the local economy. It was rough. And when people told her that a tax hike would be hard to swallow, she said, well, we'll put it in some hamburger. It always works for me. Beatha Lee has been allowed to finish out her one-year term as president, which unfortunately lasts 7 years in dog terms.
It seems like I've had this post forever.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, or you can check out our live coverage of Sunday's Oscars Awards Ceremony. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Russell from Durham, North Carolina.
Hey, how are things in beautiful Durham?
They're good. They're getting warmer. It was cold for a while.
That's nice. What do you do there?
I'm a college student.
What do you study?
American Sign Language.
Oh, really? You're gonna be an interpreter. I always wonder, when people have done it for me, interpreted our shows, if the interpreters are like talking about us to the hearing impaired people, saying, "Don't worry, whatever he's saying, it's really not worth your time." In the meantime, want to hear a good joke? I mean, that's. Have you ever been tempted to do that, to do a little editorial commentary?
That would be a terrible breach of ethics.
What? So, you
do that? I didn't ask that. I asked you.
Obviously, it's a terrible breach of ethics.
If you've been tempted to do it. I mean, occasionally you must be you're interpreting something really, really dull.
I don't know. You'd have to ask somebody with a little more experience.
All right. Well, Russell, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to go?
Ready.
Here's your first limerick.
100-watt bulb made a squeezy cake, but fluorescence can just make a cheesy shake. We're no longer loving the pink plastic oven, because we cannot power the...
Can I hear it again?
You can.
Thanks.
He signed it as well.
Yeah.
100-watt bulb made a squeezy cake, but fluorescence just can't make a cheesy shake. We're no longer loving the pink plastic oven, because we cannot power the...
Easy Bake?
Easy Bake, yes!
Yeah. All right.
Yes. Big news this week for the iconic Easy Bake Oven. High-watt bulbs will soon be banned in the toy in favor of greener lights. So Hasbro is making a new bulbless version, the so-called Easy Bake Ultimate Oven. It's powered by some kind of mystery heating element, not requiring a bulb. It promises to deliver the same kind of half-baked, inedible sea sponges that have been enjoyed by long-suffering parents for generations.
We had one when my kids were little, and the safety warnings on it were such that even your child was like, well, why would you have bought me that?
This will kill me.
There were so many, like, don't touch that and don't touch that. And then there's a retractable 10-foot pole that you remove it with now. And oh, man.
Oh, God, it's terrible. All right, here is your next limerick.
High fashion is always a curse, and for men, the back pain will get worse. They'll wear it like Beckham, but bent spines will wreck them. They're injured from having a
purse.
Yes. Over the last few years, men, especially in Europe, have given up the briefcase and adopted the man bag or the man purse or the merce. Big bags with straps that go over the shoulder. The problem is that men put in too much stuff. Their laptops, the phones, the last shreds of their manhood. For a solution, doctors recommend something smaller, like a darling little clutch purse. Dyed to match your hard hat.
There's never been a good way for men to carry stuff. There just hasn't.
Well, there is. There's the tank.
Yeah.
Get in the tank, put the stuff in the tank. That's manly.
I think the covered wagon worked out well.
That's true.
I mean, when you're walking, you can't walk a tank.
I'm trying to picture the last shreds of someone's manhood.
All right, very good. Here is your last limerick, Russell.
I've kept feelings repressed for a while. Now I'm starting to taste my own bile. At work, I feign cheer, but the price is too dear. I'm sick because I'm faking a
smile.
Right. No more Mr. Fake Nice Guy. According to this month's Academy of Management Journal, fake smiling is bad for you. Scientists tracked a group of bus drivers for 2 weeks, and drivers who fake smiled at customers were significantly unhappier than drivers who smiled genuinely. An unhappiness leads to poor health.
Where did you get this study?
Because honestly, it's like, which came first, the smile or the happy?
It just confounds everything I've ever thought about being happy.
Yeah, I want to know where they got the bus drivers and how they did, how they could tell what was a real smile and what was a fake smile.
They got the bus drivers by waiting at bus stops. Eventually, they show up.
Mm. What?
How can they tell what's a real smile and what's a phony smile?
Well, you can tell. There's muscles that engage in a real smile that don't engage in a fake smile.
Ooh.
Which ones?
The smile muscle.
The smile muscle, thank you. It took you all of 5 seconds to get to the end of my scientific knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
Carl, how did Russell do in our quiz?
Russell had 3 correct answers, Peter, so he wins our prize.
Well done. Congratulations. Well done, Russell. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you for having me.
Now it's on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores, please?
Adam Felber has the lead, Peter, with 4 points. Paula Poundstone, Roy Blunt Jr., they're tied for second. They both have 2 points each.
Okay, we have flipped a coin. Paula has elected to go second, so Roy, you're up first. The clock will start when they begin your first question. Here we go. This week, President Obama told government lawyers to stop defending a federal law that bans recognition of blank.
Gay marriage.
Right. A British judge ruled this week that WikiLeaks founder blank could be extradited to Sweden.
Assange.
Right.
Assange.
Because of more gas pedal and floor mat issues, this week blank recalled over 2 million more vehicles.
Toyota.
Right. Police in Florida arrested a woman after she started brawling with her roommate over a blank.
You know how many women got arrested in Florida? Jesus.
Anything you say will be right.
I know, yeah. Brawling over a pizza.
Over a box of Thin Mints. Because of budget issues, school district leaders in Providence, Rhode Island, announced they'd be sending pink slips to all 2,000 blanks in the district.
Teachers.
Yes. Oh, during an interview on CNN this week, Larry King revealed that he cannot blank.
He can no longer get in fights with women over a pizza.
No. He cannot remember how many times he has been married.
Oh.
Host Piers Morgan, who replaced King, of course, said, King's been married 8 times to 7 women. And King corrected him, saying, no, that's 1 too many. Turns out Piers Morgan was right. Ooh. Larry King is as surprised as the rest of us to learn that there are 7 women on Earth willing to marry Larry King. Carl, how did Roy do?
Roy had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. He now has 10 points, and Roy has the lead.
Well done. Ooh. All right. That's a pretty good round.
Ooh.
Paula, you're up next. Here we go. Rescue workers continue to search for victims of this week's earthquake in blank.
New Zealand.
Yes, this week it was revealed that an American diplomat on trial in Pakistan for murder actually works for blank.
Blackwater.
No, the CIA.
Hey.
Rush Limbaugh outraged critics by implying on his radio show Monday that blank is fat.
Michelle Obama?
Yeah, Michelle Obama. On Thursday, the Air Force awarded a $3.5 billion initial contract to blank to build air refueling tankers.
Boeing.
Right. A dentist in Britain is facing disciplinary action for blanking while working on his patient's teeth.
Chewing gum.
No, farting and cursing.
Oh!
Jesse James announced that he is publishing a tell-all book that will include details about his life with former wife blank.
From Speed, wasn't she? No.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock.
Yes. After their first eco-friendly bag was a flop, Frito-Lay unveiled a new Sunships bag that they say is blanker than the last one.
Quieter.
Yes. A Romanian con man who'd been on the run for the last decade was finally caught after he blanked.
Turned himself in.
No, after he took a job as a TV anchorman. VRL Pluskin has been on the run since 2001, but he'd gotten married, he changed his name, he'd moved to a new city, so he was shocked when Romanian police recognized him as he was anchoring the evening news.
Their first clue is when after every headline he was like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. He says he thought he was safe because no one ever watches the evening news, but in hindsight, he realizes he would have been safer taking that job at CNN. So, Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 12 points, and Paula has the lead.
Wow. All right. Swapping back and forth. How many, then, does Adam need to win?
4 to tie, 5 to win outright.
Oh, man.
I think you can do that. Here you go, Adam. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Tensions in the Middle East caused the price of blank to rise to over $100 a barrel.
Oil.
Right. Crowds gathered in Florida Thursday to watch the final launch of the blank.
Space shuttle.
Right, the Discovery specifically. Federal agents arrested a Saudi Arabian college student accused of planning attacks on the home of former President blank.
Bush.
Right, George W. Critics say that James Franco and Anne Hathaway are unlikely to ruffle feathers while hosting this year's blanks.
Oscars?
Yeah, that's not very critical. After they were alerted by a passerby, an armed police squad stormed an apartment in Germany to take down a blank.
Chicken.
A cardboard cutout of an armed Pierce Brosnan. Justin Tennyson.
If it had been Hasselhoff, they would have let him go.
Yeah.
Justin Tennyson, a member of the fishing crew featured on the Discovery Channel show Blank, died on Tuesday.
The biggest catch.
Deadliest catch. A man in Oklahoma was arrested after he was spotted leaving a hardware store with blank.
A man in Oklahoma was spotted wearing out, leaving a hardware store with Thin Mints.
No. With a chainsaw down his pants.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Anthony Blank.
It's going to be the last shred of
manhood.
That's how his manhood got shredded, actually.
That'll do her.
Anthony Blank.
That's a man that you call an Oklahoma rabbi.
Yeah. Anthony Blank stashed the chainsaw down the front of his pants, but it was spotted as he waddled to the exit. According to the storage manager, it was, quote, the first time I've ever seen a chainsaw go down anyone's britches, unquote.
Oklahoma. Yeah, he wasn't being honest about that.
No. Carl, did Adam do well enough to win?
He needed 4 to tie, and Adam had 4 correct answers. Oof. So with 12 Woo! Points, Adam Felber and Paula Poundstone are this week's co-champions.
Well done.
All right.
Well done, Adam.
And I am this week's chopped liver.
Do you guys want to make some you make some quick acceptance speeches?
I'd like to thank Adam for throwing the match. and Roy as well.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the big surprise at this weekend's Academy Awards. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, providing resources for homeownership at houselogic.com. Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere, available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago. In association with Urgent Haircare Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Nick Park. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Special thanks this week to Sari Grassley. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Confidence Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will everybody be talking about after the Oscars? Adam Felber.
Natalie Portman will arrive being carried inside a giant egg, and somehow Charlie Sheen will be carried out in one.
Paula Poundstone.
Three women in the category of best actress will drop dead from fake smiling.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
The real Jesse Eisenberg will show up, guzzling Cristal champagne, snorting cocaine, canoodling two starlets at once, and, incidentally, naked and painted gold.
And if we see any of those things at the Oscars panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much, Carol Castle. Thanks, Adam Felber, Paula Poundstone, Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.